Okay, let me get this mic ready and get ready for my boy band audition here. So good morning. I have sheets. So we're going to be doing chapter 2 this morning. All of you should have chapter 2 sheets already and chapter 3. I emailed Jim this morning. I sent him all the 6 chapters of Timothy. So you should be getting them either today or tomorrow. Anyone need chapter 2 and chapter 3? Actually, they're printed on each side. Anyone need one? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good morning. How are y'all? Good. One or two? One? Okay. Thank you.
Did you say you have three?
Yeah, 2 and 3 is on the back. Sorry about that. Sorry. Okay, perfect. So we didn't meet last week because of the gospel meeting.
Can I grab one?
Yes, absolutely.
Anybody else need one?
Okay, perfect. Let's go ahead and begin. So before we begin, let's go ahead and bow to our Heavenly Father. Dear, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so humbled and so privileged to be able to call to you, to be able to bow down and be able to recognize your greatness. And Lord, as we recognize that, we are in awe of how mighty, how wonderful you are. And Lord, we come before you as your children that are desiring so much to be pleasing in your sight. But we also come before you as your children who are afraid and concerned with some of the things that are occurring in our very own nation. Some of the hate and some of the things that have occurred this week are very terrifying. And Lord, we know that you are ultimately in control, but we also recognize how sin has polluted this world. And as we come before you, we strive so much to be what you desire for us to be. But we also pray that we can be the light, that we can be a positive influence in the world, that we can teach people about your love, about your grace, about your mercy. And we are so grateful that you have shown us all of those things continuously, even this very morning. As we open up the book of Timothy, help us to learn, help us to make application, help us to realize that these words that you have left for us matter. They matter in our lives and they matter to the world that we live in. We're grateful for your grace, mercy, and your love. It's in your sons and we pray. Amen. Perfect. Okay, so we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 2 weeks ago, we completed chapter 1. And I decided we're probably going to forego Titus. I don't want to feel like we have to pressure through these. So the plan right now is to complete 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy within this quarter. And if we have extra time, we'll go from there. But I don't see that we will, especially missing that week because of the gospel meeting. So we will just adjust. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're at this morning. So that brings us up to a couple of things. 2 weeks ago, we studied chapter 1. So if I was to ask you what chapter 1 is about, what would you say? What are some things, some words that come out into your mind?
Memory? Remind yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I didn't know where you're going with that, but yeah, absolutely, remind yourself. What was that?
Warnings?
Absolutely. Can you give me an example, Molly, of a warning?
False doctrine.
Absolutely. Anything else? Keep going. This is kind of like a shotgun method. What was that?
Instructions about the law.
Yeah, instructions. And what particularly about the law?
Just how to use it properly.
Absolutely. How not to use it.
Yeah.
And the reasons why we have the law. Absolutely. I heard something else.
No other doctrine.
No other doctrine. Absolutely. We need to make sure that we are in accordance with God's will and God's instruction. Absolutely. Keep going.
Purpose of the commands.
Absolutely. And then, Jeff, I think I heard you. Did I hear you, Jeff?
No.
I just wanted to hear you, Jeff.
So timeless.
Timeless, okay.
Not trying to bind.
Say again?
Not trying to bind certain things on people that the scripture does.
Okay, absolutely. What was that? Okay. Sure. Absolutely. Well, what else? Keep going. Give me three more.
How about Christ?
Christ? Boom. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Very good. Two more. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And he challenges that we keep fighting, right? Fight the good fight. Absolutely. One more. Chapter one. One more. I know you got it in you. I see it. All of you got an answer. Yes, Rod.
Paul is a recipient of God's grace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he says, I'm the worst. And look at what God's done. And what an encouragement for all of us. And as we think about the world that we live in, we think about what's occurred this week. We think about those three hate crimes that have occurred this very week, whether it was the man who decided to go and try to break into a black church and couldn't get in, so he went to a Kroger and found two black people to shoot, or whether it was the packages that were sent to these various people across the United States, or whether it was a shooting that occurred yesterday in a Jewish synagogue. The fact is, the world needs these words. And we need to be reminded that we are living in a world that has no desire to be pleasing to God. And people will take their own interpretations and their own beliefs, and they will apply it and say, this is how people should follow. And really, that's what you call anarchy. What God has asked for us to do is to follow His word. And brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that we know it, because we are the lights in the world. Memory verses. Memory verse from 1 Timothy chapter 1 was verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is to love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a pure heart. Sincere faith. Sorry, thank you. From which some, having strayed, are rejected. And then brings us into 1 Timothy chapter 2. And our memory verse this week is verses 5 and 6. And I think they're very applicable for where we are right now in the world. Verse 5 says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." What else goes there? What did he do? Who gave himself for all as a ransom in due time to be testified. And so we think about those words, and we're going to review it a couple more times throughout this class. But we serve one God, and we have one mediator between God and man. And that man is Christ Jesus, who gave himself for all as a ransom to be testified in due time. What an important verse. And so when we look at chapter 2, what are some words that come to your mind when we think about chapter 2? It's 15 verses, not a very long chapter, but I think it's packed with a lot of important information. So what are some things that come to your mind when we think about chapter 2 of 1 Timothy?
Praying.
What was that?
Praying.
Praying, absolutely. Starts off right there at the beginning about praying, right? So prayer. What else?
Godliness.
I think she said two things, godliness and good works. What else? Keep going.
Giving thanks.
Giving thanks. Yes, ma'am.
Roles.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the big things about this chapter is roles. What else? What is God looking for in this chapter?
Self-control.
Okay, self-control. What was that? Okay, supplications.
Thankfulness. All to be saved.
What was that?
All to be saved.
All to be saved. Absolutely. What else? Give me five more. Somebody I haven't heard from yet. Five more. Chapter 2. We talk about prayer. We talk about roles. What else within those two things?
Who to pray for.
Who to pray for. Absolutely. That's a good one. Yeah.
Obedience.
Three more. Modesty. Yeah, that's going to be a good topic. Yes, ma'am.
He switches to truth in this chapter, where previously he was talking about sound doctrine.
Sure, absolutely. And you're going to see how important they go hand in hand. Like they're kind of two brothers working together. Absolutely. One more. Give me one more.
Roles of women.
Okay.
Teaching programs.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get started. So verse 1, somebody want to read verse 1 for us? Rod, you want to read verse 1 for us?
Therefore I adjure, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Absolutely. Okay, so verse 1 really starts us off strong. And Paul is saying what here in verse 1? Therefore, I what? He says an E word in my translation. Exhort. What's exhort mean?
Encourage.
Encourage. You're absolutely right. What else could exhort mean?
Chastise.
I wouldn't say chastise. I think that's a little strong.
Plead.
What was that? What'd you say?
Plead.
Plead? Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that. Plead. What else? What word have we seen throughout chapter 1 already? It's in our memory verse. We use the word charge, or another word is command. Absolutely. Exhort, charge, command. So when we think about this, we're not looking at something that's an option here. We're looking at something that is a must when it comes to us as Christians. And he says, therefore, I exhort, first of all. And he breaks down four things, and I think that they're very important, right? The first thing he says is what? Supplications. Somebody tell me what a supplication is.
Asking.
Okay. I would say that's right. I think it's more than just asking, though.
Desire.
What else? Keep going. If I tell you to supplicate something or to make supplication, what is it? Is it something that's important or something that's just, okay, when we get around to it?
Pleading.
What was that?
Pleading.
Pleading.
Plead.
And what'd you say?
That's something that's needed.
Absolutely. Plead and necessary, right? So what's interesting is you look at the second word is what?
Prayer.
So is there a difference between prayer and supplication?
I think supplication is a type of prayer.
It is. I would say you're right. When you say supplication versus prayer, what's necessarily the difference?
Intensity.
What was that? Intensity. Absolutely. Right? Necessary. Right? So I would go with need. Right? Supplication is, this is of utmost importance. Prayer is
broad.
Can be more general. Supplication would be specific. What's the third thing mentioned here in verse 1? Intercession. My translation says giving thanks. That's the next one. What's the third one?
Intercession.
Thank you. Sorry. Got ahead of myself. Intercession. And what does it mean for intercession? What's another word for intercession?
Mediation.
I heard a word.
Mediation.
Say again?
Mediation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a huge word. Right, what else? Intercession. Making intercession or pleading on for intercession.
Contend.
I heard of something. Jack.
Contend,
okay. What else, Ron?
Providence,
okay. I think all of these are included, yeah.
Praying in somebody's stead.
Absolutely. You think about what Paul does throughout his writings. Is he constantly pleading for intercession for those he cares about? Really particular, who are we talking about in Timothy? What group of body are we mentioned, or are we talking about? Where is Timothy at? He's in Ephesus. And it's important because you see the connection between Paul and the brethren at Ephesus. You see when he meets with the Ephesian elders and he talks to him and he pleads with him. And he says, I don't know if I'm going to be able to see you again. And you see that heartfelt exchange. You see how much Paul cares for him. And so when we talk about Christians making intercession, give me a real life example.
Praying for the Jewish synagogue, for instance?
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I think sometimes fail to pray for people that really need prayer. I'll focus on brethren that are mentioned here. But sometimes I think it's just limited to those Christians that I know or the ones that I know that are affected, when really there's a whole world out there that needs prayer. And then the last thing that's mentioned here in verse 1 is what? Giving thanks. And why does Paul talk about giving thanks here in chapter 1?
Verse 8.
Giving thanks is expressing thanksgiving for God's blessings. I think of a song, and I imagine all of you are thinking that same song. What's that song Cody's thinking about?
Thank you, Lord.
Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And we're reminded throughout a lot of Paul's writings. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 2 and verse 7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And in chapter 3 and verse 15 it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then in two verses later, in verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Paul constantly reminding us to be thankful. And how often does God answer prayers in our lives and we forget to go back and thank Him for those prayers? I struggle at that. I'm terrible. So Paul here is challenging us to do four parts when it comes to praying. What are they? What's the first one? Supplications. What's the second one? Prayer. Third one is intercession. And the fourth one is giving thanks. Verse 2. Somebody want to read verses 2 through 3 for us?
For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior.
Absolutely. So we see here that Paul's putting an emphasis on, I exhort, or I plead, or I command, I charge you to do these four things for all men. And then he goes right in and says, for kings who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So let's break this verse down. Who are we talking about particularly? I think we're talking about two things here. Paul is challenging Timothy, or reminding Timothy, that when we pray for all men, and who else?
Kings
and those who are in authority. And why is that?
So we can live a peaceful life.
So that we can live a peaceful life. Absolutely. So it goes hand in hand. So let's break down the first part. Why, as Christians, should we pray for those who are in authority? Absolutely. And how do they have an impact on our lives? We see here in the verse, it talks, because it goes hand in hand with the peace and that quiet and that tranquility that we have. But how? Give me the real life. It's coming. It's voting time, right? And the things that are on the ballot affect who?
Us.
And as Christians, we have a responsibility to do what?
Make a difference.
To vote. And second, to pray. Our votes matter, but more importantly, our prayers matter. And so when we pray for those who are in authority, why are we doing it? I think we hit on it, but what else? It's because it goes hand in hand with our lives. What else?
Because God created government.
God created government? Absolutely. Are there any other verses within the Bible that talk about the importance of this?
Romans 13.
Romans 13. Let's turn there. Patricia, you want to read that when you get there?
I don't have it.
Okay. Romans 13. Somebody want to read Romans 13 verses 1 through 7 in theory. Let's see if we can skim some of that.
Let every soul be in subjection to higher powers, no power but God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstand the ordinance of God, and that they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. The rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil, and would thou have no fear of power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same.
No, you can stop there. So then verse 6 says, for because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So here in Romans we are reminded to do what?
Respect.
Because ultimately, as Valerie said, God has put those positions in place. And so why else do we pray for those who are in authority? God created, God placed, to protect us. And ultimately the whole end game here is that Paul's desire is that Christians will be able to do what?
Worship,
the very thing that we're doing right now. And so praying for the government matters. And individual people we might not necessarily support or like, they have a huge impact on our lives. And so we need to teach our children the importance of praying for those who are in authority. We need to remember the importance of that. Going back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, what else in this verse stands out to us? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all what?
Godliness
and reverence. I'm reminded of Rod's class that we just had. What is godliness?
Godwardness.
What was that?
Godwardness.
Absolutely, Godwardness. What else does that include? Don't make me tell Rod that you don't remember.
Holiness.
Holiness, okay. It's being in awe, and it goes hand in hand with the second word here, which is the reverence. And so when we think about this, there's a couple of things that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And then in verse 3 it says, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior.
It's our sacrifice.
Absolutely. And God desires for what?
All men to be saved.
All men to be saved. And that goes right into our memory verse. Well, verse 4 says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And our memory verse one more time. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so when we think about the power of those verses, what are those verses teaching us?
Where our focus should be.
Elaborate a little bit more, but yeah, you're right. There's a word that's used twice there. And it describes God and the mediator. One. Is that important? Why is it important to recognize the importance of one?
There be no schism.
Okay, that's exactly right. It's for us to recognize that there is only one truth. And Jesus reminds us that there's only one way to God. And that's through Jesus. So we think about the importance of one. There's one God, and there's one mediator. What is a mediator?
our lawyer.
What was that?
Our lawyer? Our lawyer, yeah. He's our advocate.
Okay. Dennis, what'd you say?
Go-between.
What else? Mediator means what?
Negotiator.
In the hospital, we have a patient advocate. I think of that when I think of mediator. It's one who really is an advocate for the patient, right? It's sometimes that middleman between the actual care and the patient that they and the patient, and then the hospital and the doctors and the nurses and all who attends to them, right? So that mediator, the one who speaks for, the one who stands up, the one who protects. Yes.
One that knows both sides.
Yeah, sure, that's good. Both, we'll reverse that. Knows both sides, you're exactly right. And what do you mean by that, Rosa?
By knowing both sides, you could bring them together and figure out an answer or a compromise, whichever it needs to be.
Absolutely. So in verse 5 it says, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus." And what makes that man so important is that Rosa says that he is the one God. And he is that one man that mediates and that comes and was willing and able to give his life as a sacrifice. And then in verse 7 it says, "For which I was appointed a preacher and apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." And so Paul is saying here at the end of this important discussion about what about himself? What was Paul appointed to do? He was appointed to preach, and he was chosen to be an apostle. And an apostle meaning that he did what? He saw Christ before and after, right? Recognizing that he was handpicked by Christ to be his leader or his apostle. And then he says, "I am speaking the truth of Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." Why does Paul say this? "I speak the truth in Christ." Is this a common thing for him to repeat? Absolutely. What was always put into question?
His apostleship.
Yeah, his authority. Right, his apostleship. And in Galatians chapter 1, and in verse 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Christ Jesus and the God Father who raised him from the dead." And then in verse 12 it says, "For neither I received it from man, nor was I taught, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." And we could look at multiple verses, including Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, and Galatians 1 and verse 20. And then, to be a teacher of the Gentiles, what does that mean? Is there any significance here, what Paul is saying?
It's back to this for everyone, for all.
Okay.
The word "all" in there shows up a few times in this chapter. It's pretty important.
Absolutely. Very good. So turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and the first one who gets there, please read 16 through 18. Acts chapter 26, 16 through 18.
"Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me."
What is Jesus telling Paul here? What is he going to do? Who's he sending him to?
The Gentiles.
The Gentiles. And why is he sending Paul to the Gentiles? To open their eyes, to teach them the truth. As Kim said earlier, this chapter is based in truth. And the fact here is Paul was sent specifically to the Gentiles to be a teacher of truth, so that they may understand the importance of the things that we've just discussed. That there is one God, that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom for who? For all, Jews and Gentiles. Any thoughts through verses 1 through 7 before we get into verse 8? Run.
Yeah, Acts 4:12. Throw me right over here. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Perfect. Any other thoughts? All right, let's go ahead and read 8 through 15. 8 through 15. Anyone?
I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectful apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women, best godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam is born first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but a woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness and self-control.
Perfect. Okay, so the beginning of this section, verse 8 says, I desire therefore that men do what? Pray. And so one of your questions for your sheet this week is 1 through 8 connected, or are they two separate thoughts?
No, it's connected.
It's connected. So Ron said it's connected. Somebody else give me an answer why it's connected. What was that? Therefore, absolutely, right? So we look at some of the key texts here, right? In chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, therefore, I exhort you, right? So we see that continuation of thought. And then in verse 8, it says, I desire therefore, meaning what, Valerie?
Meaning he had just explained how important prayer is, all the different types of prayer, who to pray for. And then he goes on to say, therefore, I desire that you...
Absolutely. And so Paul is challenging which men to do this? All men. And then there's some specifics that he says here. What does he say specifically here in this verse about men? How should they do this?
Lifting holy hands.
Lifting holy hands is one, right? So lifting holy hands. And what else? Ashley, what else do they say here? Without wrath.
The opposite of
thankfulness. Okay. And what else? Did I hear something else?
Anger or quarreling.
Anger without wrath. Anger. Quarrel. Man, that's the one I don't spell all the time. Sorry about that. This is a red squiggly line. What was the other thing I heard? I was so focused on quarreling, spelling it.
Disputing.
Disputing. Okay. So let's break this down. So he challenges men. Which men? All men. Let's say that one more time. He's challenging which men? All men. And are we talking specifically about men here? Are we talking about Christians here? We're talking about Christians. It says men. But what we're applying here is that all Christians pray. And we're to pray in what way?
Lifting holy hands.
Okay, so let's talk about this for just a minute. And so we see the importance of this. And it's funny because Patricia came up to me and talked to me about a song. Patricia, what was the song you mentioned to me this morning?
On Bended Knee We Come.
On Bended Knee We Come.
But we don't sing it on our knees.
But we don't sing it on our knees, right? So throughout Scripture, we see what about prayer? What are some important things that we see about prayer?
Seriousness.
The seriousness of it. That's one. What's another thing that we see about prayer? Is it optional for Christians?
No,
absolutely not. And we see that here. All men pray, right? What else about prayer? So it's not optional. What was that?
You're getting the static.
Oh, I'm getting the static. Back up. That's what you're saying, Josh? Josh has limited me here. So, Ben.
You know, I'm wondering if in context, because the next verse or two talks about some specific things for women, and this is not actually specifically talking to men in a public assembly context, and then as regarding all men, it's, you know, not so much the men when they're praying not to be quarreling, but men who don't quarrel, so speaking to their character, those men who have this good character are speaking up in a public assembly.
Okay, very good. So Ben, I heard everything you said, but there was one thing that stuck out to me. Character, right? So this is going to be the foundation of men praying here, and it's going to be the foundation of women's modesty moving on throughout these verses. So character, or the inner heart, right? That's what really we're talking about here. And so when we talk about prayer, what are the examples that prayer is given as far as posturing? What are the different types? So we see here in this verse, it says lifting up of holy hands. We see that multiple times throughout Scripture. We see that in Nehemiah. We see that in the Psalms. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 8. But also, what else, what other positions are mentioned throughout Scripture?
Prostrate.
What was that?
Prostrate.
Okay. And how? What does that mean? Absolutely. So bowing down or scraping or as getting low as you possibly can. So we see lifting holy hands, bowing down or face to the ground. What are some other things that we see? What do we do often? We really have two, I believe, in our assembly. Right? We stand or we're sitting down. Right, so we're bowing our heads. So we see five positions, I believe, throughout Scripture. We see sitting. We see that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. We see standing in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. We see kneeling occur very often in Daniel chapter 6, in Luke and Acts, in Ephesians. And then we see that face to the ground. An example of that is in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. And then we see hands lifted. So my question for you, because this came up often in my deployment, because I was deployed with different people from different nationalities. And it's interesting how people in various parts of the world approach this topic. And a lot of people look at prayer in a specific way. Is that what Paul is challenging us to do? Is he considering the importance of our posture? Or is he looking at what Ben said?
The reverence.
The reverence and the godliness that's already been mentioned. I believe that the positioning matters. I do. And sometimes it's a struggle for me because this is a personal thing. I believe how we are physically affects how we are inwardly towards God. And I look at it as reverence. But what we need to point out here is that I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So God is looking for the character. And why is he saying anger and quarreling here? What is he challenging men to do or Christians to do?
Peaceful.
To be peaceful. And it kind of goes back to what we said here in verse 2. It says, we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence. What else? Philip.
I think you can also take that back to chapter 1 when he talks about those people who get caught up in quarreling.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right. I think it's connected 100%. Right? What is the motive or what's the intent behind what we do? Right? So when we think about this, Paul is really challenging us to make sure that our character, that our inwardness is focused on godliness and reverence. And then one more. Actually, we're going to stop there. Without wrath and doubting. So when we think about that this week, there's two things, right? At the end of every class, we are going to do what?
Pray.
Pray? And what about pray? Specific. Thank you. And then we're going to give three what? Applications. Real life applications. I think sometimes we like to say the right things because that's what we do in Bible class. But I think it's important that we put real life application. So let's think about three things. I'm going to ask three separate people. We only talked about a few verses today, but I think there are three important verses. So what can we do in our lives this week to apply this? Yes, ma'am.
When we're talking about authority, I think sometimes, especially with the political climate as it is, we may rant or rave or say things sometimes that, well, we can have opinions. Be careful of how we portray that, right? So I think how our kids see us, how people to have that respect for authority, even if maybe we don't agree with authority.
Yeah.
But having that fine line between being respectful towards authority, regardless of how, you know, you may think about some of their items, their actions.
Perfect. And then this is on the spot, but can you give me, how can you implement that this week? Can you give me a real life example? You brought up your children,
yep.
Right? So voting is coming up, right?
Yeah. So I think maybe it's even just talking about something with them to say, hey, you know, obviously we hear tons about presidents or whatever in the news at school, whatever. Hey, maybe this is what we think about this, but at the end of the day, we still need to pray that this person makes good choices.
Amen.
Or that if we're voting for someone that what we believe that they stand for is what wins or things like that. So showing them how we can have respect for authority.
Yeah, that's it. Perfect. Love it. Okay, give me, that's two more. That she went first, so no offense, but the pressure's on. Josh.
You know what you said, once we pray, we should also pray everywhere. There's a great example that can be done there. And, you know, at work, if there's a meeting, what's there to pray about it? Home, over dinner, during the car, on the ride, or whatever. There's a character that we can show and show our children by praying constantly, whether it's a public setting or a private setting.
Yeah, perfect. All right, good. That was very good. One more. Yes, Sean.
So looking at the prayer without wrath application, so James is always good with application, so it reminds me in chapter 4. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for the pleasure that war on your members? And it's going through, you lust and you do not have, you murder and covet. But basically, it gets down to that you do not have because you do not ask. And then you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So I see here he's talking about prayer, and he's talking about the reason that your prayers are going unanswered, sort of to say, is because you're selfish. And so they go right with that wrath, that if we're focused on our selfish desires, then that's not the attitude that we need to have, that we need to be focused on everyone around us and put ourselves behind that.
Perfect. Anybody else? Ron, sometimes I don't know if you're choking or what's going on. Ron, what's up?
Well, the application following Sean there, and it's in verse 8, too, in Psalms 37. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. We are commanded to be peaceful.
Perfect. So a couple weeks ago, I spoke on the Wednesday night invitation regarding some challenges that have been occurring to me at work. And one thing, I haven't heard anything, so I don't know if it's gone away or if it's still just baking in the process, but two things. One of my nurses came to me this past week, and she said, she came in my office, she closed the door, and she said, I was in a Bible class, right, and we were talking about Judas. And she's like, I was wondering if I could ask you a question. Right, and I thought, wow, what an amazing thing, for one. And then another one of my employees came to me, her father's very sick, and said, I was wondering if you could pray for my father, George. He's really struggling. So I want to challenge you that even in times of challenge, God can use those challenges to be a blessing to others. And one of the things that I have done, I don't know if this is right or wrong, I don't know if I'll get fired for this, but if I see somebody hurting, and I learned this from the chaplain that I was deployed with, but I will ask somebody, I say, hey, can I pray for you? And one of the things that I have always done, I've always said, hey, I'll pray for you, and then I'll go home and I'll get busy, and guess what I don't do?
Pray.
I don't pray for them. But one thing I have learned to do is I will just take that moment, whether it's 10 or 15 seconds, I will pray for them in that very moment. So that's a real life application from Cody, is that maybe we should spend more time praying for others. It may not be brothers and sisters in Christ, but it may be people that need a physician. And guess what? We all know the great physician. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so humbled and so grateful that we can come to you this morning studying the importance of prayer, recognizing that you are the one God and that Jesus, our mediator, is that one and only mediator, and that he gave his life as a ransom for all of us. And Lord, I come before you challenging each of us in this room that we will take these words and we will use it in our lives. We are living in a world full of hate. And Lord, we all have the answer. We all have the solution, and that is you. That is your Son, Christ Jesus. And we pray that we will be bold, that we will have encouraged to take your word out to the world, that we will step up and that we will pray everywhere without ceasing, that we will give you supplications, prayers, thankfulness, thanksgiving. And Lord, we're just so grateful for your grace, mercy, and your love. Please be with us. Help us to raise our children to fear and to know you. We're grateful for your grace, mercy, and your love. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.